I'm Jason Gay, and it's time for three stories you should know.
They're saying you're destroying the purity of amateurism. Not once did they talk about the needs of these kids.
Well, they even listened to
That's you. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, casually signing a bill into law on LeBron James's TV show, The Shop. And that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of the Global Sport Institute at Arizona State University. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Great, thank you. And also joined in studio by Only a Game's own Karen Given. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Jason.
All right, Ken, you start us off. You're first.
Well, the governor leads us off this California Bill 206, which gives college athletes the right to market their name, image, and likeness, and to use agents in the process. And this is what many people are viewing as something that it's not. What it's not is pay for play.
Yeah.
This is not a moment where athletes are now able to be paid in California schools. What this law will allow is for some athletes that kind of have the gravitas to sign endorsement deals and lesser level athletes to give lessons and get paid. This bill doesn't go into effect until 2023. Other states are looking at similar laws.
Yeah.
But what it was, I mean, the opening really says it. The idea of a governor using an athlete's show to sign this bill is really, in some sense, a lot of what we're beginning to see much more of with Derek Jeter's Players Tribune, where players, as he says, they utilize that space as a place to share what they feel.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a real new day that we've got to start to think about and get our arms around.
With the shop appearance, it was enormously effective. You know, usually these things are happening in state houses and there are a couple of local TV cameras there and everyone politely claps. But this thing just blew up instantly. And that's a credit, obviously, to, you know, what they've built with that show. But LeBron's name, of course, and, you know, Newsom being canny enough to see what kind of platform this could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Ken, you were saying how this is kind of a new era of athletes speaking out and having this platform. And I do wonder if that's why this move was able to happen now in some ways. Like, we're hearing from athletes a lot more than we used to about the inequities. And it is amazing to me that in our deeply, deeply divided country right now, like, this is the one thing that is bringing politics together. I mean, every single California state lawmaker who cast a vote on this voted for the bill, every single one. And then the governor, despite like this huge effort by the NCAA and schools and conferences to try to get him to not sign it, signs it in the most theatrical way possible.
The most striking thing about this, it is that the myth of amateurism is dead. The Lone Ranger is the, and I hate to refer to it monolithically, is the NCAA and everybody that's kind of singing from their hymnal. And to see all these legislators in California buy into it and all these, I guess, the 7-8 other states now looking at this, I mean, that's really telling from where we were just a few years ago, where people were still defending the idea of not providing compensation to these athletes just because they had visions of ancient Greece and running around with fig leaves and playing sport for the, you know, all that stuff.
Well, and you look at, and you referred to the fact that there's momentum in other states, and you look at the other states where there's momentum. It's Ohio, it's Texas, it's Florida. I mean, do they have college sports in those places? All right, Karen, what do you got for us?
So on Thursday, Sports Illustrated laid off 40% of its staff. Let's just say that again. Sports Illustrated laid off 40% of its staff. And this thing really reeks of the worst moments of the dot-com crash. Like, remember that? So staffers were invited to an important meeting. They compared notes. They realized they hadn't all been invited to the same meeting. And as they suspected, everyone invited to the first meeting was laid off. Everyone invited to the second meeting got to keep their jobs. Yay. Meanwhile, SI intends to keep pushing out content with the help of hundreds of contract employees. And in some ways, this feels like exactly what's going on all over, you know, in all sorts of industries. On the other hand, like, this is Sports Illustrated and people are freaking out. But the response that I personally most identify with is from Brian Curtis of The Ringer, who suggests that we shouldn't see this as, quote, the day SI died. Instead, he says we should see it as the latest in a long series of awful events. And that seems just about right to me.
Ken, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is Wall Street and what is it, Blue Star Airlines. This is really somebody comes in There's this beautiful enterprise with this name, and somehow they don't understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they really didn't have a great plan to keep it afloat. Those of us who were, you know, longing to be faces in the crowd and all those great things that SI had over the years that we all remember are sad. This is what's going on in the world. And like I was saying earlier, there are a lot of other ways that people are beginning to get their sports content. And whoever leads Sports Illustrated going forward, because there's likely to be another transaction that takes place, really needs to step back and figure out what can you do with this great brand. And clearly, this group has not figured it out.
I just hope, and the fear I have is that this is going to somehow turn into a branding exercise for the new owners, that Sports Illustrated is simply going to be this name that's going to get slapped on a lot of products. We'll have Sports Illustrated, you know, cafes and car washes and discount hotels and so on. And I just think the DNA of a title like that is brilliantly written journalism. And there are a great many people who became professionals in this industry who are inspired by reading the work of people who worked there for many, many years. And so I just think that you cannot throw away that DNA. And if they do, those car washes are doomed. I don't mean to make any light of the scenario,
no.
though, because, you know, I have been personally one of those people with a cardboard box walking out of an office once, and it is not a happy thing. And my heart goes out to everybody who's going through that experience anywhere, but especially at Sports Illustrated this week. I want to segue to some happier news, which comes to us from the NBA, which is using its G League minor league outfit to Frankenstein together a new experiment. It's called 2-for-1 free throws. Now, here's the idea. A player gets a shooting foul in the G League, but instead of shooting 2 free throws and grinding the game to a halt as he dribbles and dribbles and dribbles some more, twice, he just shoots one shot. And if that shot goes in, it counts for 2 points. It's brilliant. Here's the best part. They're also doing 3-for-1s. That's right. If you are fouled in the act of shooting a three-pointer, it's going to be one free throw for 3 whole points. But my real question to both of you is, can the New York Knicks take one free throw that will instead count for playing 82 games?
Now that is a shortcut worth doing.
But what about you, Ken? I mean, I like when sports experiment. I don't feel like they should be sacred about their rules, and I applaud these kinds of moves.
The G League needs to go over with a group of millennials and speak with Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
If there's going to be some creativity in terms of speed. I mean, I never had a problem with how fast basketball is moving. I need to breathe sometimes when those guys are at the foul line. Give me a break. It's moving too fast. Slow this thing down.
So the league says they're going to take 6 to 8 minutes off the time of the game.
Yeah.
Are we really to the point where a game that's 2 hours and 6 minutes is entirely too long, but a game that is 1 hour and 58 minutes is A-okay? Like, is that really the world we live in right now?
You're talking to the wrong guy here, because I'm the person who now, when I Google a movie that I want to see, I find out how long it is first before anything else. Like, I don't even care who the actors are. I'm like, 90 minutes? I'm in. I'll do that. But anything over 2 hours.
So my thought is, if really your goal is to just have a shorter game, why don't you just take a couple minutes off of every quarter? Like, why get rid of free throws, which I enjoy? Like, to me, that's a tension moment. It's like when you've got the action film and it's all very actiony, and then they have to like sneak somewhere and you're like holding your breath. Like, that's I enjoy that moment.
Free throwing is the putting of basketball. I mean, you know, it's the dramatic. Is he going to? He should. Well, this is so easy. He should make it.
Right.
I just wonder if there are going to be coaches in the G League who are going to try to hack this strategy by just, you know, launching three-pointers from all parts of the court to try to get these 3-for-1 foul shots. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of the Global Sport Institute at Arizona State. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
And Only a Game's very own Karen Given. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Jason.